I'm Tommy Gimler. I'm in Philadelphia because I needed a week where I could look outside and say, damn, it could be worse. And speaking of pure dog shit, the offensive line coach for the Buffalo Bills is up to his knees in it after he allegedly threw a teenage boy's fishing pole into the Gulf of Mexico, pushed him to the ground, and punched him in the face. What a dick.
The Daily Upper-Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
All right, coming to you solo this week from Philadelphia. Andy Ostroff is still serving his two-week suspension for saying the fuck word, and Tyshawn Phillips, despite his status as a one percenter, couldn't come up with enough cash to get a nonstop flight on U.S. Airways out to the city of brotherly love, where Philadelphia, man, I'm telling you, if you guys haven't been here before, do yourself a favor. If it's 9 o'clock and you haven't done so yet, make sure you lock your doors. It's that bad in parts of this city. I mean, I'm talking about you think of like Wawa convenience stores, and you think quality, great sandwiches, great, just perfectly cooked cookies, not too soft, not too stiff. Great products inside, but outside you got guys pissing on the windows and laying down and sleeping in it. Nothing but hot messes outside of the inner city Wawas here in Philadelphia. And on that note, let's jump in to the hot mess.
The hot mess.
Speaking of a hot mess, it's going to be a hot mess all year long if you're a Philly sports fan. I feel so bad for them right now. It's not going to be a good year. The Phillies are the only team in baseball right now with fewer than 30 wins, and we are at the All-Star break. At one point, the Phillies were 19 and 33. Since then, they've gone 10 and 29. They were recently swept by the second-worst team in baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers. That's how bad things have gotten. In fact, the Phillies are so bad that they have been outscored by a Melissa McCarthy Gunt-esque 160 runs. That's right. They have a run differential of minus 160. To put that in perspective, the next worst run differential in all of baseball belongs to the Chicago White Sox, negative 73. And they're just four games under 500.
Fuck!
But the Phillies, last place, obviously, in the NL East, 160 runs they've been outscored by so far. And they've just been awful. 308 runs scored, 29th in all of baseball. On base percentage of less than 300, 27th in baseball. Slugging percentage, 363, 28th in all of baseball. Pitching, a 483 ERA, last in all of baseball. 1.49 ERA. Or whip, rather, last in baseball. Opponents are hitting 284 off of Phillies pitching. That is last in all of baseball. And really, the bottom line is that they're just paying these turds too much. I mean, according to Sports Illustrated, despite having the worst record in all of baseball by a fairly large margin, the Philadelphia Phillies own the seventh highest payroll at $146.889 million. Their average contract is 1.6 years at more than $16.2 million per. You have guys like Cole Hamels earning $24 million. Ryan Howard, he's pulling down $25 million.
Fuck!
He's playing like he should probably be getting three tops. Cliff Lee, $24 million, hasn't thrown a pitch. Jonathan Papelbon, 12.5. Chase Utley, 13.5. And man, he's gotten old quick. He's playing like he's 56 years old. He sucks. But if you're a Philadelphia sports fan, you can't even look at the Phillies and say, it's all right. At least this is as bad as it's going to get for us. Because there's only one franchise that is worse in all of sports. And sadly, it's right here in the city of Philadelphia. It's the 76ers.
Fuck!
Just when you thought they couldn't get any worse than last year or the year before that, it's going to get worse. Joel Embiid, it was announced last week that he and his shitty foot are going to miss the entire season again.
Fuck!
So he's well on his way to becoming the biggest bust in NBA history. And what that means for the 76ers is that they have now pissed away $9.4 million on a guy who's grabbed as many boards and blocked as many shots for them as Mindy McCready. and that worthless sack of fuck has been dead for more than 2 years. And it could be even worse in the case of Embiid, as there are some people in his camp who think that his latest setback might be a bigger career killer than plowing Jennifer Love Hewitt. It actually might kill his career, this latest foot injury. So that means without Embiid, this is the projected starting lineup for the 2015-16 Philadelphia 76ers. Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, Jeremy Grant, Tony Rotten, and Robert Covington.
Fuck!
I haven't heard of 60% of those guys. If I had to guess whether or not that was a starting five for an NBA franchise or an NBA D-League team, I'd go with like the Green Bay Raptors, if that team even exists. There is no way that team is going to compete with anybody this year. At least the Phillies. I think the Phillies at one point won five in a row. At one point they won five in a row. But that was before their manager bailed on them. I don't even know if this 76ers team is going to win five games all year. Listen to that starting lineup one more time. Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, Jeremy Grant, Tony Rotten, and Robert Covington.
Fuck!
There are teams that have better bench players than that. Like that team right there, the starting five for the Philadelphia 76ers, couldn't beat the second five on the San Antonio Spurs. And of course, maybe they had the best second five out of anyone else in the NBA. But I'll tell you what, I would even take like the second five on the Milwaukee Bucks against that. Nerlens Noel, Jahlil Okafor, Jeremy Grant, Tony Rotten, and Robert Covington. I'll honestly be shocked if they win double-digit games next year. So the bottom line is that it is not a good time to be a sports fan in the city of brotherly love. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see a 200% spike in the amount of browsers activations. Because these guys, believe me, if you've been walking the streets of Philly, these guys are going to need something to get them excited this year. And it sure as shit isn't going to come from their sports teams.
The hot mess.
It looks like at this year's NFL Rookie Symposium, they're going to need to find room somewhere in between teaching them how to properly dispose of a hooker's corpse and why it's never a good idea to take more than $52 to a Chino Hills strip club. They're going to have to make room and teach these fuckers how to properly light off fireworks. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. I've done them. I've done it before. They're not just sparklers. But over the July 4th holiday weekend, not one but two NFL players lost. Well, one of them lost one. The other one lost two of his fingers in fireworks displays gone wrong.
Oh, shit.
First up, Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback C.J. Wilson lost his index and middle fingers off one of his hands when fireworks did not pop out of the canister when they exploded. His father said that he's lucky his son is alive. And that's all that really matters. Looks like his son really didn't do that much the last year anyway. Two games last season and was credited with four tackles. So the only thing that has changed in a matter of months is the fact that you can now say he has less fingers on one of his hands than he had tackles last year. But at the end of the season, you would have said, hey, at least he's got more fingers and tackles. The other one, a little more reported on. And, you know, we like to rip Adam Schefter and the crew at ESPN, a new one here at the Daily Upper Decker. Find us at dailyupperdecker.com, on Facebook. Find us at Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. And you can also find us on Vine. But here at the Daily Upper Decker, we love to rip Adam Schefter. Well, according to my sources. And this time he leaked Jason Pierre-Paul's medical reports. So you got to give it to him. At least for probably the first time in his ESPN career, at least he used a credible source. So way to go, Schefter. We'll let you go this week. But Jason Pierre-Paul, the New York Giants defensive lineman, lost one of his fingers. It had to be amputated, his right index finger. And I'll tell you what, man, that's a big finger. That's a big finger when you're a defensive lineman. Probably nose pickers and defensive linemen, that's probably the most important finger right there. You can't do either without it. Can't rush the quarterback without that index finger. I mean, you can, and just like picking your nose, you know, you can do it probably, but you're not going to be as effective. You need that index finger, that right index finger. Long story short, Jason Pierre-Paul loads up a U-Haul van full of fireworks, sets him off. July 3rd, he had five fingers on his right hand. July 5th, he's got four. He's missing his right index finger. All because he couldn't light the fireworks and get the hell out of there in time. Hope it was worth it. Giants took $60 million off the table. Pierre-Paul hadn't signed his $14.8 million franchise tender. And now they can withdraw that if they want. All over fireworks. Something that is, or at least was created to entertain the Chinese and my wife. Jason Pierre-Paul, career in jeopardy. I'm sure someone's going to sign him. But he's going to have a different move next year if he finds a way to get back onto the field. It's going to be a little more fisty, I think, as he tries to get to the quarterback. But you know, as much as we pick on C.J. Wilson and as much as we pick on Jason Pierre-Paul, at least they're not this fucking ass clown. Devin Staples, who according to his brother Cody was, quote, the kind of guy who would do something stupid, unquote. And that pretty much sums up what went down on July 4th somewhere in northern Maine. Despite his friend's best efforts to dissuade him, Devin decided to place a reloadable fireworks mortar tube on top of his head and set it off. He died instantly. There was no rushing him to the hospital, Cody said. There was no Devin left when I got there. So as far as we know, there was no video of the incident, but I can only imagine that it was a lot like that scene in Tropic Thunder when Damien steps on the old French landmine and it's just blown to bits.
And I am Jesus Christ, his son. You are my chosen disciples. And no one gets to go home until we get the shots. Put on your war pieces, gentlemen. Now, let's go and make the greatest war movie ever.
Yeah.
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 I mean, are we supposed to feel bad for this guy? A guy who took a reloadable fireworks mortar tube and put it on his head and then lit it and then blew himself to shit? I mean, isn't that one of those things you're supposed to learn as a child? And not even, like, somewhere along the way he had to be told, hey, man, don't put a firework in your hand and then close it. Because you're going to not have any fingers anymore. You're just going to have a stump. Or like, isn't it something you should just know as a kid? Like, hey, you don't put a fork into the light socket or else you're going to get electrocuted. You don't stick your thumb up your ass and then immediately put it in your mouth because you're going to get something and it's not going to be good. It doesn't taste like strawberries. So yeah, so I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul, C.J. Wilson, are they idiots? Maybe should the NFL, because of these two idiots, maybe should they throw in 30 seconds of time at the NFL Rookie Symposium just say, hey, maybe cool it on the fireworks or have somebody else light it. They have, what, 35 guys in their entourages that they're just giving money to every day to do nothing? Pay one of those guys $5,000 to be the guinea pig. You want to see fireworks today? You and your fucking six kids? You guys all want to see fireworks? Then you're lighting them, not me. But the bottom line is that it could have just been much worse. So yeah, are they idiots? Yes. But at least they still have a pulse.
The hot mess.
And at least they're not hitting women. Good Lord, what is going on down in Tallahassee at Florida State University? Two separate instances of football players punching women in and outside of bars. The first time, DeAndre Johnson, backup quarterback, he's gone, off the team.
Get the fuck out!
Everybody saw the video probably by now. Walks up to the bar. It looks like some words were said. She kind of like takes a little bit of a jab. Awful, awful jab. I don't know what she was trying to do there. That was pretty weak. That's some Peter McNeely bullshit right there that she was throwing. And DeAndre Johnson just throws a haymaker. He's gone, off the team.
Get the fuck out!
But is it really that big of a deal for the team? Backup quarterback wasn't going to figure in probably this season anyway. Who cares? Get rid of him. You can still be successful without him. But the second case, Dalvin Cook allegedly punched a woman multiple times outside of a Tallahassee bar. And he's a player on the field. I don't know if you call that playing off the field when you punch a chick multiple times. But as of right now, Cook is just suspended. DeAndre Johnson, backup quarterback, gone. Who gives a shit? Garbage. But a potential star running back in Cook, as of right now, he's just suspended for punching a woman allegedly multiple times outside of a bar. Who knows? Maybe this is Jimbo Fisher's way of buying his boys at the Honorable Tallahassee Police Department a little time to dig up any videos that might exist of the incident, and it'll buy enough time for them to erase all of them so it'll never see the light of day, and then he can get his boy back on the roster, his star running back on the roster. But here's how stupid Jimbo Fisher is. And it's not like you expected someone with the first name of Jimbo to be a genius in the first place, but here's how stupid he is. Jimbo Fisher's response to two of his players that he recruited going out to two separate Tallahassee bars and allegedly hitting women, one on video. His response is that the rest of the players on the team, if you're going to play Florida State football, you can't go to bars, which is asinine. Why would you punish the rest of the guys on the team for the actions of two idiots? It's like me walking outside with like my retarded cousin David.
Break the beans!
He throws a rock through my grandma's window and I get my ass paddled for it. What are you teaching there? What kind of lesson is that? These two guys messed up and did something so horrible, allegedly, to these women. So because of that, now you can't go out and have fun. Personally, if I'm on a team, I just say, fuck it, fine, I'll go to house parties. Fine, I'll get all fucked up there. Yeah, Tyrell and Sydney are throwing a fucking rager down at the Willow Apartments. Fine. Can't go to bars, I'll go down with Tyrell and Sydney, get all fucked up. That's what I would do. And here's one more thing Jimbo Fisher had to say about what took place that just leaves anybody like myself with a college degree, that pretty much includes anyone outside of the Florida State football family, really just shaking their heads. Jimbo Fisher said, Florida State is a great university. Our fans and supporters deserve better than to hear of actions that are not consistent with the school's proud history and national stature. Proud history and national stature? Like what? Winning the Heisman Trophy and then raping a chick? Let's take a closer look at that proud history and national stature, shall we? June 9, 2013, Gregory Dent, a Florida State football player, was charged with sexual assault, according to an arrest report. March 7, 2014, Ira Denson, a football player, was related to an attempted homicide, according to court documents. March 19, 2014, Ira Denson, again, was arrested for two felonies. The charges were for illegal credit card use and petty theft. April 1st, 2014, Greg Reed, a former FSU football player, was arrested for a probation violation. April 3rd, 2014, Ira Denson again, arrested for a third felony charge. Denson was charged with accessory after the fact to the homicide listed above. April 14, 2014, James Wilder, a former football player, was booked for an outstanding warrant from knowingly driving with a suspended license. April 29, 2014, Jameis Winston, Heisman-winning football player, was infamously caught stealing crab legs. Leon County Sheriff's Office said Winston shoplifted $33.72 worth of seafood. July 7, 2014, Jesus Wilson, Jesus, another FSU football player, was arrested for grand theft. Police say they found Wilson driving a stolen scooter that was heavily damaged. So again, our fans and supporters deserve better than to hear of actions that are not consistent with the school's proud history and national stature. Actually, it sounds pretty consistent to me. Because since Jimbo Fisher has been named the head coach here, that's what's been going on at Florida State. Florida State President John Thrasher said he had no tolerance for the type of behavior alleged in these cases. Well, look, if you want this stuff to stop happening at your university, if you really want it to stop happening, because let's be honest, the Seminoles are no longer playing in the Thrifty Minus Geico Papa John's GoDaddy Bowl. No, they're playing for the big bucks, and the checks that are coming into that university because of that football program, they're pretty nice. They're pretty big. But if you really want the behavior that's been displayed by two of the Florida State football players recently, if you really want that to stop, then you need to sit Jimbo Fisher's fat ass down. And you need to tell him that barring players who did nothing wrong and who are of legal drinking age, barring those players from local Tallahassee bars, from going out and having a night out of town and having fun and being a college kid, barring those players from doing that, even though they did nothing wrong, that is not the answer. The answer would be for Jimbo Fisher to simply stop recruiting assholes.
The Hot Mess.
It's not often that we get serious here at the Daily Upper Decker. Find us online at dailyupperdecker.com, Facebook, Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. You can also find us on Vine. It's not often we get serious at the Daily Upper Decker, but there is a seriously disturbing story coming out of Oakland, California regarding safety at baseball games. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel pretty damn safe at baseball games. I've never been hit by a foul ball or a broken bat. I've never been raped. Now, I can see if you're at a Raiders game in Oakland and you have safety concerns there. That I get. Shankings, unwanted fingerings, fights. You know, I get it. I understand if you have safety concerns at a Raiders game. But at an A's game, really? Listen to this story here out of Oakland. This is Gail Payne. And Gail Payne is a huge pussy.
So I have a sloppy pussy.
Sloppy pussy!
Not because of the fact that she's a woman in her upper 50s. As, you know, I personally, I know at least three or four ladies older than that that could definitely kick my ass. No, Gail Payne is a humongous pussy because she doesn't feel safe at the Oakland Coliseum during A's games. She is upset about having to duck out of the way of what she estimates to be at least three or four balls that enter her section every game. Now, I've never been to the Oakland Coliseum for a Raiders game or an A's game, and I don't plan on going. If the existence of the human race depends on me attending the Oakland Coliseum, good luck. Good luck, because I'm not going. But unless each section at the Oakland Coliseum is 70 seats wide by 70 seats deep, so you get 4,900 seats, it's highly unlikely that three or four balls are entering her section every single game to the point where she has to duck out of the way. And if for whatever reason she is accurate with that, then trade seats with every other baseball fan that is inside that stadium, because that is a money seat. people cream their shorts over foul balls. But it is highly unlikely that three or four balls are coming toward her in that section every single game. Unless, I don't know, like I said, I've never been to an A's game. Maybe the product on the field is so bad this year that they're actually playing catch in the stands so they're not bored out of their mind. I don't know. Nevertheless, two consumer rights law firms have filed a class action lawsuit against Major League Baseball and Commissioner Rob Manfred on Payne's behalf.
You were serious about that?
Her solution to protecting her and others who aren't even asking for it, you guessed it, have a net that goes from the foul pole down the third baseline all the way to home plate, and then all the way from home plate again all the way down the first baseline. So down each baseline all the way to the foul pole, put up a net, and make sure that it's high enough to protect her where she is sitting, which is, wait for it, on the second fucking level.
Come on!
Now I've gone through and I've read the entire 53-page document that is this class action lawsuit against Major League Baseball and Commissioner Manfred, and I've got to tell you, it's a bigger waste of time than the New Testament. It really is. And the biggest heap of dog shit.
Wow, man, you just ran through a big pile of dog shit.
Comes in the section where they try to outline what they consider an epidemic of serious and entirely preventable injuries in the game's modern era. Now, so I didn't sound like an idiot. I corrected their mistake. They said in the game's modern era. So who knows? Maybe Gail Payne. Maybe she and her lawyers are just as stupid as this entire lawsuit. I mean, how do you come up with a lawsuit like this, 53 pages, and instead of, do you not have a proofreader? Do you not have someone who proofreads every single page when you're done with it before you put yourself out in the open like this? In the game's modern era instead of modern era. It's asinine. But then again, I'm a huge grammar dork. So anyway, they have a huge section where they outline what they consider an epidemic of serious and entirely preventable injuries. Like this one, for example. On June 19, 2015, a boy seated along the first baseline was injured by a foul ball. Wow. That's fucking heartbreaking. Ah. That's a tragedy right there. Quote, on June 19, 2015, a boy seated along the first baseline was injured by a foul ball. Unquote. That is serious. That is some serious shit right there.
Some serious shit.
Or how about this one? In 2011, a foul ball sent an 18-month-old to a Seattle hospital. Entirely preventable? You fucking bet it is, as in the injury would not have happened if some dipshit parent wouldn't have brought his or her 18-month-old kid to a baseball game. The kid's not going to remember it anyway. What is that 18-month-old kid doing at a baseball game? Entirely preventable? Yes. Yes, it was. And I don't even know if you can classify this as... In fact, I know you can't classify this as an epidemic. Epidemic's pretty harsh. Epidemic is like 20 kids... are in a school, 19 of them are 300 pounds. They're 12 years old, 300 pounds. That's an obesity epidemic right there. 95% of the students are obese. That is an epidemic.
Hey, Tom, he's just a fat kid.
And they're probably all going to eat the one who isn't, so they're probably going to be at 100% as soon as they chow down on the skinny little fucker. But that epidemic, they're calling it an epidemic. 17 incidents that they deem serious and entirely preventable. The epidemic that it is. 17 incidents since 1998. That comes out to just less than one serious injury. Less than one. Per every MLB season. So let's break that down for a second. There are 2,430 regular season games every year. And there's always the possibility that one or two of them won't get played. So, for example, let's say the Brewers and Phillies were going to play a game this year again, and it got rained out. Odds are MLB would do everybody a huge favor and say, fuck it, because it's not going to have an effect on who goes to the postseason. But instead of going back and, like, you know, giving this cunt any more of my time and effort.
You are a cunt. You're a cunt.
And, like, looking at, like, how many teams just played 161 games in a year because there was a rainout or whatnot, I said, screw it. We're just going to go with that since the beginning of the 1998 season, that means that 42,600 regular season MLB games have been played. There have been what they deem 17 serious incidents over that span. That means a serious incident, like a boy getting injured by a foul ball, happened less than 4/100ths of 1% of the time. Less than 4/100ths of 1% of the time. Wow, that's an epidemic, baby. Got to get on that right away. Congress and Obama got to, you know, fuck the nukes in Iran. Fuck it. Get them over here. We got to get some nets up at Major League ballparks. So last year alone, 73,739,622 human beings attended a Major League Baseball game during the regular season. And according to the lawsuit, which at this point, the lawsuit seems about as trustworthy as Roman Polanski chaperoning a prom.
Jesus.
Now, according to the lawsuit, 1,750 of these human beings who attended a Major League Baseball game last year, 1,750 of them were reportedly injured by errant balls. And only one of those was considered serious. So 1,750 people injured by errant balls out of 73,739,622 people who attended regular season games. That comes out to just over 2/1,000ths of 1%. 2/1,000ths. Of 1% of all the people who parked their fat asses in seats last year to take in some baseball action, 2/1,000ths of 1% were injured by an errant ball. And more than 99% of those were not of the serious variety. So let's be honest. Trying to make an argument that getting seriously injured by foul balls at a Major League Baseball game is an epidemic, it's almost as bad as attempting to make a case that Lil Wayne possesses talent, or Chief Keef, or any of those turds. There is none. There is no argument that can be made. In fact, Payne is more likely to be killed in a car wreck on the way to the Oakland Coliseum. More likely to be killed in a car wreck than she is to get injured while she's at the game. So what's her solution there? Put protective netting around cars so she can be safer on her ride, so she can feel safer on her ride to the ballpark. Look, our advice for Payne or for any other retard who is thinking about attaching their name to this ridiculous lawsuit is to stay home. Do all the other baseball fans, all the other 73 million plus baseball fans who enjoy it just the way it is, do everybody a favor and just stay home. And while you're there, don't even think about watching the game on TV because you don't want to put any unnecessary stress in your eyeballs. And you know, when it comes time to eat, make sure you don't leave the house to go get groceries because you don't want to slip on the shitty sidewalks of Oakland, break your ankle. It's dangerous. And you don't want to eat that food anyway because it's probably going to lead to heart disease. And maybe you don't want to breathe if you want to see tomorrow. If you want to live to see tomorrow, maybe you don't breathe while you're at it. After all, you live in Oakland. Some dirty air up there, real dirty. Or better yet, let's do everybody else a solid. And let's stop the pussification of America right now. And let's get it back on the right track when we were all hard asses. Do everybody a favor and just walk out into oncoming traffic.
Would walk my fat ass right into oncoming traffic.
And speaking about walking yourself into oncoming traffic, that might not be such a bad idea right now for these guys. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. For the pile.
The pile.
All right, it looks like we're going to start out the pile at the top of the shit heap here today with probably soon-to-be former offensive line coach for the Buffalo Bills, Aaron Cromer, who, according to the Walton County Sheriff's Office, was arrested and charged with misdemeanor battery after he allegedly threw a boy's fishing pole into the Gulf of Mexico, pushed him to the ground, and then punched him in the face over the use of beach chairs left by a beach access.
I beat the shit out of some kids today. But it's for a purpose. Made me feel good about myself.
It turns out beating the shit out of some kids wasn't good enough for Cromer because he didn't stop there. Again, according to the Walton County Sheriff's Office, he told the teenage boy that if he told the police about what just took place, he would, quote, kill his family.
If you tell anyone about this, I'll fucking kill you.
Now, either the boy hated his family and was like, fuck it, I'll take the risk, or he knew that Cromer was just a pussy who picks on children and shitty quarterbacks like Jay Cutler. Remember, Cromer was the offensive coordinator last year for the pig shit awful Chicago Bears. And you might remember that Cromer came out and apologized to the team in the locker room for throwing Jay Cutler under the bus and basically calling him in the media what everybody else knows what he is. And that is a big pile of dog shit. Well, anyway, the kid wasn't threatened, went home, told his family. They went to the police. And the police said they are still investigating the incident and more charges could be filed against Cromer. Now, you have to think that if the boy's account of what took place is accurate, then to say that Cromer overreacted would be a bigger understatement than saying, you know, I would like to hug Kate Upton. As everybody knows, I would eat chunks of rhubarb out of that girl's asshole. And I fucking hate rhubarb. The Buffalo Bills have since placed Cromer on paid leave while they sort through the facts. According to Cromer's attorney, and this is what they're actually going to try to use in court as a defense, is that Cromer said it was dark outside. He knew that someone had stolen his chairs, quote, stolen his chairs, unquote. And it was too dark to see how old the boys were. So he threw a haymaker.
You just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Good luck with that. We'll see how the it was dark outside defense holds up in court. Personally, I think he's better off going with this one.
I beat the shit out of some kids today. But it's for a purpose. Made me feel good about myself. It was like I did something constructive with my life or something. I don't know. Like I accomplished something.
The Pile.
Next up in the pile, you guessed it, Donovan McNabb, the man who now has more DUIs than NFC Championship victories. Now, guys, whether or not Donovan McNabb puked in the huddle during Super Bowl 39, we might never know for sure. But one thing is for certain, McNabb sure loves the sauce. The current NFL Network and Fox Sports analyst was arrested for DUI for the second time in 18 months on June 28th. After he rear-ended another vehicle at a red light just west of the intersection at East Chandler Heights Road and South Higley Road in Gilbert, Arizona. It's unknown where McNabb was coming from, but by the looks of things, it looks like there was an 80% chance that he got himself some good puss wherever he was. If you saw the smile on this guy's mugshot, you would definitely agree. Here's the crazy part about McNabb's, you know, decision-making here. The dude made $107 million, just shy of $107 million during his 13-year career in Philly, Washington, and Minnesota. So, you know, no matter how much money you make, when you get one DUI, the first one, everybody gets a pass, right? Everybody fucks up. Everybody makes a mistake. But the second time around, especially when you have made that much money and you don't want to fork over $20 for an Uber ride, let's be fair, $20 to $30 for a nice ride home in a Toyota Prius. Probably going to offer him a free water when he's in there. So you get some of that money back. Can't fork over the $20 to $30 for an Uber ride. But instead he gets his second Dewey. Now, for the record, an Uber from Old Town Scottsdale to his house in Chandler would have set him back somewhere between 23 to 31. But if he was in Tempe trying to wreck some college puss, even though it's July, it would have been just $16 to $22 to get home. And now, because he got busted in Arizona, they don't fuck around with Dewey's over there. Minimum 90 days in jail. And almost just as pathetic as his decision to drink and drive again and get caught for the second time. I mean, he didn't decide to get caught. But just even putting yourself in that position to get a second Dewey, almost just as pathetic as that decision was the video of the cops talking to him after the accident. If you haven't seen this yet, it's on TMZ. It's up on YouTube. Make sure you check it out. We're going to play it for you right now. This is Donovan McNabb trying to explain that he's not drunk. He just has a cold.
How much have you had to drink tonight?
Nothing.
Are you sure?
Yes.
How come I can smell it on you then?
Well, first of all, I got a cold. So I've been on cough medicine. So like I said, I got...
What kind of cough medicine?
Chlorophyll, Robitussin.
Purple drink?
In your mouth right now? Is that a cough drop?
That's it. That's two okay. Cough drops.
Okay.
So like I said, I've been really sick. Like I said, I live two blocks away. I've been just going home, my wife, my kids. I'm not into that. Like, first of all, and when I hit her, I told her, I said, look, first of all, I'm going home, ma'am. And she said, well, let's just wait. I said, no problem. I'll wait. My husband's he's a undercover cop. None of my business.
Okay.
No problem. That's what we're doing.
Well, here's the deal. Can we just run you through some tests just to make sure that you're good to go to drive?
No problem.
Okay.
So you want me to look at this light?
Yeah,
right?
Look at this light right here.
No problem.
Don't move your head. Just follow it with your eyes.
Yep. Looking right at it.
Yep. Don't move your head, though, okay?
Not a problem.
And he's moving his head. You obviously can't see it right now. You got to check the video out on YouTube or TMZ.
Right.
Moves his head.
Are you willing to do a few more tests? It's up to you.
I mean, like I said, I'm just right here at the house. My house is not the next light is my house. That's the whole thing.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I mean, again, I just want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can just to make sure that you're okay to drive.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay. If I need to walk, that's fine with me. But I'm okay to drive.
Yes, oops, Susie.
Why would you need to walk, though?
No, I'm just saying. If I need to drive, that's fine. I'm good to drive.
Okay.
If you need me to walk, I mean, that's the whole thing. I'm in my neighborhood. So I didn't do anything wrong. I thought she was leaving. That's the whole thing.
Okay.
That's when I got out and talked to her, I said, ma'am, everything okay? She said, yes.
Okay. Do you mind if I have this other officer do the same eye test that I just did on you?
Sure. No problem. Everything okay?
Well, back to my other question is if you're willing to do further tests.
Huh?
Are you willing to do further tests?
I'm right by the house.
I know. I know where you live. I know right where you live. All I'm trying to do, Donovan, is just figure out if you're willing to do more tests. I can't physically make you do them, okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's got to be up to you. I don't want to put pressure on you. I just want to know a yes or no if you'll do them.
I mean, I'm just going home. I got my wife at house. I mean, I don't think
it's got to be up to you.
No, so.
Okay.
I just want to go home. I just want to go home.
You're going to be under arrest for DUI, okay?
What?
You're under arrest for DUI.
Ha, 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 ha. Now, I'm not sure what qualifies as proof that you are drunk in the state of Arizona, that you are legally drunk. But I'm going to be honest, it doesn't look good in any state when you use the phrase, here's the whole thing, like at least 13 times in a 3-minute questionnaire with the police. In the future, if you ever find yourself being questioned by police, when they ask you a question, the Pretty much anything is better than, huh?
The pile.
The good news for Donovan McNabb is he isn't the biggest turd when it comes to DUI arrests, as that was his second DUI in 18 months. But in the case of Ty Lawson, he recently bagged his second DUI for the second time in less than 6 months. According to the four letter, Lawson was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence in Los Angeles early Tuesday morning. CHP officer Jennifer Cassidy says Lawson was driving at a high rate of speed before being pulled over around 2 a.m. local time Tuesday on State Route 101 in Hollywood. Cassidy says Lawson displayed several signs of intoxication. He was booked at 3:43 in the morning and released just over 5 hours later on $5,000 bail. He is scheduled to appear in court on August 4th. And that's in the normal human being court, not on the basketball court. And really, those are the only details that we have on his second DUI at the time. That's about it. But wouldn't you like to think that when he saw those lights rolling in the rearview for the second time in less than 6 months, he only said one thing, and it was pretty close to this.
Fuck!
You know, look, I'm not here to beat a dead horse, but like, just like in the case with of Donovan McNabb, you have Lawson here. He's due to make more than $25.6 million in the next two seasons with Denver, or if they trade him wherever he goes. But that's more than $25.6 million. And it just baffles me that these guys can't fork over a 20 or 30 bucks for an Uber. And at that point, early Tuesday morning, you're probably going to get a driver, you know, slash up-and-coming actor. Who knows? Maybe an extra in the latest installment of Mission Impossible. But you're probably going to get a nice actor, a nice conversation as she takes you back to LA Live or drives you over to Spearman Rhino, whatever the case may be. But, man, you just have to look at Ty Lawson, two DUIs in less than 6 months, and just say, man, you're a fucking idiot.
The pile.
Central Michigan cornerback, or should we say former Central Michigan cornerback, Brandon Greer was arrested and charged with assault and attempted kidnapping in connection with an incident Wednesday night. This is per the Bleacher Report. They have Rick Mills of the Morning Sun reporting that a woman claimed she was able to escape after a man in a car asked her a question and then grabbed her arm as she approached. The report also included comments the victim later posted to Facebook, and those were, "I was almost abducted. I fought the guy off and ran with our dog to the apartment. I am safe, but another child or adult may not be so lucky." Apparently, Greer, who is 21 years of age, was questioned after fitting the description of that the victim provided, and after they questioned him, they took him into custody. So we're not sure what he said to that they were like, "Yeah, this is our guy," whether or not he just came out and admitted it. But according to witnesses, Greer was seen switching his parking places in a silver car and then watching another woman walking a dog. Boy, wouldn't you love to know what the fuck he was on? You better hope. If you're Brandon Greer, you better hope you were on something. You gotta say that you mix at least three, not even two, like three hardcore drugs that you weren't yourself. Because you don't want to say, like, "That's the thing. I wasn't taking anything. I wasn't taking nothing, Your Honor. I wasn't taking nothing. I just had a momentary lapse of reasoning. I just tried to kidnap a dog a woman who was walking her pooch."
The pile.
Here's a great story out of Mississippi State. Former Mississippi State Bulldogs football player Quay Evans, and yes, that is his birth name, Quay Evans, Quay, was arrested for shooting. Not like anybody, but for shooting in the air after a couple of fights broke out at a Starkville apartment complex. This happened all the way back in March 21st, and they must do things a little slower in the South because he was just recently arrested last week. On March 21st, gunshots were reported in the Aspen Heights apartment complex on Lamar Lane, according to a police report obtained by the Clarion Ledger. The report states a witness claims to have seen several fights outside the complex. Once the fights broke up, the witness alleges Evans pulled out a gun and fired it into the air, which, this is the best part, led to others also shooting in the air. So, I'd love to be a bird in the tree on that one. Actually, not if they're shooting in the air. You wouldn't want to be a bird in the tree. I'd like to be a fly on the wall during that one and just watch this huge motherfucker who used to play for the Mississippi State Bulldogs fire a gun in the air in what he probably thinks, you know, was a positive thing that he was doing. I'm going to fire my gun in the air to break up the fights. But I would have loved to have just been there to see, like, everyone else, like, stop and look and say, well, motherfucker, if he's shooting his gun in the air, then I'm fucking shooting it in the air. And it's not fair. Why does he get to shoot the gun in the air and I don't?
The pile.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it fair here at the Daily Upper Decker. It's not just former Bears personnel, you know, that we report on when they get arrested. We also report on current Packers. First up, that's right. There's multiple instances here of Green Bay Packers players getting arrested. First up, Daytuan Jones. It was recently announced that he was going to be suspended for one game by the NFL, and according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, now we know why. The Packers defensive end was ticketed for possession of marijuana hours after the team returned to Green Bay following the embarrassing, don't even get me started on that, Clay Matthews, where were you the final 5 minutes? Not on the field? Clay Matthews, defensive player of the year, why are you not on the field? Anyway, he returned to Green Bay following the loss of Seattle in the NFC Championship, and he got busted with weed. So, according to the Green Bay police report, Jones had 8 grams of marijuana in a plastic bag, and a female companion also had other drug paraphernalia. A witness called police after observing suspicious activity in a vehicle outside an apartment complex. The witness reported loud music and said she saw money and a sandwich bag exchanged. Jones was convicted February 10th and paid an $880 fine. I think the most unbelievable part of that story is $880 for weed.
Fuck
the pile.
We promised another Green Bay Packers arrest, and this time it's with God's gift. If you guys don't know anything about the Green Bay Packers, one of their tight ends is Andrew Corliss, and he's dog shit. Pure dog shit. Might be able to block all right, but he's fucking garbage. Yet he calls his hands God's gifts or God's gift, God's gifts. Who gives a shit? Andrew Corliss was arrested July 4th for firing a gun into the air. According to Miami Beach Police, 5:35 a.m. on July 4th, Corliss and a couple of males were said to be arguing with a group of women. And then 2 shots were fired into the air. Police later found the black Porsche, which I assume belongs to Corliss, a few blocks away. Corliss was alleged to be attempting to hide the gun in a potted plant near a local tavern. Police matched rounds from the gun to those found near the parking garage. He's out of police custody now. He's probably going to get a fine. But since it wasn't weed, you know, he's probably not going to get suspended for any games. So I don't know. I don't know. What's with the guns? Guys shooting guns up into the air over the holiday weekend. Maybe they thought because of all the fireworks, like, no one would be able to hear it. Like, a gunshot would sound something like this.
The pile.
All right, we're running out of time here at the Daily Upper Decker, but I wanted to sneak this one in. Former NFL player John Abraham arrested for getting into a fight at a strip club in Brookhaven, Georgia. So no word on what the fight was about, but apparently there's surveillance footage, but you'd like to think that something went down where Abraham was sitting sniffers row or sitting at a table with his henny, and his girl was up dancing on stage. Somebody else made a move, and he was just like, those are my titties. The strip club is the same site, same strip club where Abraham was arrested several years ago for drunken driving. So just like all the other guys getting their second Dewey, John Abraham, you got a choice. You go to that strip club and get all fucking stupid, or stay home and watch Cinemax.
Fuck!
All right, that's all the time we have here at the Daily Upper Decker for this week. Make sure you check us out all week long at dailyupperdecker.com. Find us at Facebook and, of course, on Twitter as well, at Daily Upper Deck. You can also find us on Vine.
Fuck!
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.